The NFL season starts tonight.
Yes, it does.
Eagles hosting the Cowboys. And in case there's any doubt, a new poll found that, yes, football is still America's favorite sport.
Why would you waste money on a poll on that?
It's not even close.
No.
48% of Americans follow football at least a little bit. 48%.
I'm surprised it's that low.
Well, that's almost 20% higher, 20 points higher than second place. Got the top 10 for you here. All right.
Okay.
And the number is how many of us pay attention to each one. Okay. Number 10, wrestling. 8%. It has the most haters of any sport on the list. A lot of people hate wrestling. Number 9, MMA gets 8%. MMA, I had to look that up. Mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
It's those people who pound each other in a big cage, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Number 8, tennis, 9%. Number 7, auto racing, 10%. That's kind of surprising. Number 6 is golf, 11%.
Golf is still holding steady.
Yeah. Soccer at 5%, at 12%, that is. Again, soccer has slightly more haters than hockey. And ice hockey comes in fourth at 12%. I got to tell you that I'm not a fan of anyone so far. I know Jad likes ice hockey, but I can never get into it.
Okay. No, soccer, too. Sporting KC several times now. Yeah,
yeah, you've been up to see the games. Basketball is number 3.
I was going to say, what's 29%? What's the jockey between baseball and basketball for 2 and 3?
Technically, there's a tie for second.
Oh.
Baseball gets the nod because more people said they hate basketball. Baseball's number 2 at 29%.
Okay.
Football, 48%, as we said. It includes NFL and college games. Or if you somehow follow Canadian football, that counts, too.
I do. I've been watching some CFL.
Have you?
Well,
it's an interesting game. It's a whole different.
It's different. It's a little different.
It's a bigger field.
Check in and see what's going on.
But they only have 3 downs, right? It's wide open. And it always has.
It's
a fun game to watch.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. A third of Americans, 32%, said they don't follow any of the 10 sports.
Okay.
There you go. Local senior living company is expanding. Time for the Wichita Business Journal update with editor Kirk Seminoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Steve. A Wichita-based senior living company has added 2 more properties to its growing national portfolio. Legend Senior Living has purchased communities in St. Charles, Missouri, that's outside St. Louis, and Gainesville, Florida. That brings the company portfolio to 73 residences over Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Colorado, Florida, and Pennsylvania. Legend Senior Living is a 24-year-old company founded in Wichita and has been expanding rapidly in recent years. It added 4 residences in Florida residences in June, and last year it expanded its headquarters in Wilson Estates Office Park to support growth. The company operates Regent Park and Regent Independent Living in Northeast Wichita, as well as Park West Plaza and The Manor in Northwest Wichita. One of Wichita's biggest residential real estate brokerages has named a new CEO. She's Ashley Haynes, and she's been helping at Keller Williams' hometown partner's largest team, the Roy Group, helping it grow for the past 11 years. Now Keller Williams has selected her to be CEO, replacing former CEO Amanda Rempe. Haynes oversees 115 agents over several local teams that make up Hometown Partners, which is the city's 3rd largest brokerage with $466 million in residential sales volume last year. And 2 Wichita natives who play football at Kansas State have signed NIL deals with their hometown burger place. Freddy's Frozen Custard and Steak Burgers announced it has signed name, image, and likeness contracts with quarterback Avery Johnson and running back Dylan Edwards. Johnson played high school football at Mays, and Edwards played at Derby. Amounts of the contracts weren't revealed. Freddie's also signed an NIL deal with K-State soccer star Anna Pagano, who's from St. Louis. Freddie's has also announced NIL deals with student-athletes around the country, Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas, and Arizona State. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Seminoff.
Kirk, you're not going to believe this, but when I was a young man playing sports in high school, nobody offered to pay me to be in fact, sometimes they didn't even let me be on the team. You believe that?
Sometimes they paid you to stay away, right?
Yeah, it's kind of my whole sporting career as a youth was, I would say, Dickinsonian, you know, like a Dickens plot.
I hear Charles Dickens wasn't a very good football player either.
Pardon me?
I hear Charles Dickens wasn't a very good football player.
He stunk. He stunk. Good golfer, though. We're doing research and some sharing of information this morning on America's favorite sports. And I'm sure you're not surprised that football came in number one. Do you have a favorite sport?
Well, growing up, I loved playing basketball because I was taller than everybody. But, you know, as I get older, I still am in love with baseball, I have to admit.
So where's football? Does it come in there anywhere?
Oh, it's a good second. I will sit and watch a day of college football or a day of NFL football, partially because I'm lazy, but partially because I love watching the sport, too.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about my own experience. Truly, growing up in the 50s and 60s, the top sports were baseball, number one, and then maybe football, but boxing came in there. Yep. Boxing for years was dead. I mean, my old man, every Friday night, the Gillette Cavalcade of Sports came on, and they'd have a good welter or middleweight fight on there. I saw some of the best on TV. These guys were terrific, but that's kind of gone away.
That has gone away.
Muhammad Ali and those guys, it's kind of gone away. Were you a boxer?
You know,
go ahead.
Ted and I grew up in the 80s, and I bet you we can name a lot of WBA and WBC champions at a lot of different weight classes, but not anymore.
Not anymore. Nope.
Everything changes, right?
Yep.
Except Steve and Ted. 7,000 shows. We haven't changed a bit since we started out almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, we're the bantamweights of Wichita.
That's right. We're the Gillette Cavalcade of Sports of Wichita right here.
Okay.
All right, sir. Anything going on in your world that's exciting that you'd like to tell us about this morning?
Well, I look forward to taking a closer inspection of my roof at some point today. But
I'm just wondering about mine.
How last night went.
Yeah. I was there lying in my bed part of the time and hearing this bump, bump, bump on the roof. I said, oh, boy, that don't sound good. I bet the...
It was a thumping that we don't hear very often.
Yeah, the insurance guys will be out this morning. All right. Thank you, sir. We will check with you again next hour. That's, of course, the Wichita Business Journal update with Editor Kirk Semenoff this morning. On this date, 1957, Ford began selling the Edsel. We've been talking about this morning.
That was its big, huge new car.
Taken off the market. It was supposed to be kind of a transition between the regular Ford and the Mercury, which was a little bit higher scale. And I've done some research this morning to find out what it is, why the Ford Edsel just didn't ever fly.
What was wrong with it?
The car was intended to fill a mid-market gap between Ford and Mercury, as I said. However, a confluence of poor market timing, a questionable design, quality issues, and confusing marketing doomed the project. Okay. Everything went wrong.
Yeah, selling... Perfect storm. Nothing went right.
And this is 1957-58. Ford lost $250 million, which was enough to sink the Edsel. It was introduced just as the U.S. was entering a recession, which led consumers to buy smaller, more economical cars.
That's a problem.
And questionable design and branding. The car's signature horse collar vertical grille was mocked by many critics with some... derisively comparing it to a toilet seat.
Oh, well, that's a problem.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess name, none of the designers thought about that.
The name Edsel was chosen to honor Edsel Ford, but Ford's own research showed no positive association with the name.
That was a problem.
Other suggestions included some from poet Marianne Moore were ignored. Number three on the list, reliability problems. They were plagued with quality control issues, including poorly fitting body panels and technical problems. The Teletouch push-button transmission, which I mentioned earlier, a major selling point, was often unreliable and prone to failure.
Not good.
Yikes. Misleading and excessive marketing, Ford's year-long teaser ad campaign built immense hype with ads showing the car burned, blurred, or hidden under wraps. When the car was finally revealed on E-Day, it failed to live up to the high expectations. Yeah. Wow. The marketing guys.
They built it up too much.
Yeah. Okay, manufacturing and production issues. It was not given its own production line. It was built alongside Ford and Mercury vehicles, and factory workers had to frequently retool equipment. Wow, it just didn't work.
Just a cluster.
Everything that could go wrong went wrong with the Edsel.
Thus, over the years, it's become synonymous with something that's just a failure.
Yeah, that's just right. It's a name that's you know, if somebody's an Edsel or they're doing an Edsel, there you go. New Coke was another one. Remember New Coke?